I was born on the 9th of December 1916 in Kirk's Harbour, which is an outskirt of Augsburg. We lived in a very spacious villa. We lived on the first floor, and Lee and her parents lived on the ground floor. My parents were very loving, well-adjusted people, and in our home there was harmony, and we did a lot of things together, going for walks, going swimming, and all sorts of things. We weren't terribly orthodox, but we still had a kosher household. We closed our business on all the holidays. We went to synagogue on all the holidays. We were, in a way, very observing, and religion was a big part of our everyday life. I was an only child, but I never missed the company of other children, as I had lots of cousins who lived all very close. My father had 6 brothers, and they all lived in the same street, only about a couple of 100 yards from each other, and they all had families, so there were always plenty of cousins to play with. And of course, with Lee and her parents living in the same house, Lee had a brother, Siegbert, who unfortunately died when he came to Great Britain, were my little cousins. They were 8 years younger than me, and I had a lot of fun with them, taking them out in the pram, and also when they were older, we were all very close. That's why I'm still so very close to my cousin Lee. After all, we have grown up together. When I was 6 years old, I went to the local school, which, lucky for me, was just across the road from us. And I stayed there for 4 years. I was quite a good pupil, quite ambitious, and enjoyed my school days. When I was 10, I went to school into Augsburg. It was a lyceum, and it was girls only, where I stayed for 6 years and graduated there. My school days were all very enjoyable, and there was neither any anti-Semitism or anything, especially in the school in town. When it came to the later classes, we were 12 pupils, and out of the 12 pupils, 6 of them were Jewish, so there couldn't have been much anti-Semitism. After 6 years, we graduated with white caps and buns round the shoulders, and there was always a big ball for the graduates, where your mothers usually came as your chaperone, but it was most enjoyable. After school, I went to a sewing class for a year, and in Augsburg, we had a Jewish sports club. It originally was only a tennis club, which we all joined, but later on, as we couldn't join any other clubs anymore, they extended it to all sorts of gymnastic and sports, as there was plenty of room there, and there was also a clubhouse, and all the Jewish people of Augsburg, all the young ones, congregated there, and it was a nice, friendly atmosphere. One had chats, and we played ball, we played handball, and running, and tennis, and all the things we wanted to do. It was most enjoyable. After I had been to the sewing school, my parents thought it would be a good idea if I was going a bit away from home for my further education. We put an advert in the paper. There was a big Jewish paper in Germany called the Familienblatt, looking for a place where you didn't earn any money and you didn't pay, just more or less what you call Haustochter. a couple from Leipzig answered, and I went to them. They were very nice people. They had one son and they were in the fur trade, but as they had come from the East and we all had lived in Germany all our life, it was quite a different life there altogether, and I was desperately homesick. I was so homesick that I went to the station to see the trains go away. I didn't tell my parents that I was so homesick, but one day my uncle, who lived in Nuremberg, came up to Leipzig on business and visited me, and he realized how homesick I was. He said straight away I should pack my case and come back home. Why I was so homesick, I really don't know, but I was literally ill with being homesick. When I came back to Augsburg, I joined a firm who sold wine and spirits to pubs and to smaller shops, and I got a job there in the office. As a matter of fact, I was a proper apprentice, and I served my 3 years of apprenticeship. And very much liked it there, because in my free time I went a lot to the Jewish sports club and we went swimming, and some of our friends had a house in the country where we all went. I always had a lot of friends to go out with. It all went very well till the 9th of November came along. There was no anti-Semitism and we were really not all that worried about things. When I came to work, the foreman of the firm said straight away I should go home and not come back. So of course we soon knew then what had happened to all the Jewish businesses. They were all being taken over and a lot of people were arrested. My father was very lucky. He wasn't arrested. I don't know why. Somehow they might have overlooked him. Two of his brothers were arrested, but he and the other ones weren't arrested, which of course was a big bonus. Most of the people who were arrested were sent to Dachau and stayed there for quite a while. It was a bitter cold winter and people there had a very rough time. I myself was very eager to get out of Germany and wrote to all possible relations abroad to get an affidavit or get some papers. I forgot to mention I had a boyfriend, Berthold Westheimer, who lives now in the States, and we were really very close. We weren't engaged, but there was kind of an understanding that we would get married. He was lucky. He had papers already to go to America, so he left the country already before the 9th of November. I had a cousin in South Africa, the son of one of my uncles who lived still in Germany, who had some business connections in Great Britain, in Bradford, and one of his daughters wanted two maids, and they were good enough to give us papers. So I and my friend Irene got the papers and could go to Bradford. We got all our things together. I knew very little about Irene because Irene lived in Stuttgart and we lived in Augsburg. I knew her sister better because she used to come in school holidays to my aunt and we would play together. But I knew very little of Irene. We had the same job in the household. We were interned together. After the internment, we both worked in the same factory, shared the same room. Till Irene and I got married, we both were continuously together and we really were good friends, which helped tremendously to have always somebody to share your life with you. The people in Bradford were very nice, especially the Jewish community. We went on Sunday on rumbles with them and they arranged their rumbles to suit our day off, which was every Sunday and one day during the week. And they took us for nice walks, invited us for tea, and we really had a very nice time in Bradford, and we were invited for the high holidays to come to their houses. people really went out of their way to make us welcome. Unfortunately, Lee and her brother Siegbert arrived with a children's transport, and they went to a place near London. My cousin in South Africa paid for them, or paid some money for them. Unfortunately, Siegbert got a kidney infection, was taken to hospital and died there, which was a tremendous blow, especially for Lee, who at that time was only about 14 years old. And I, from Bradford, went down to London to the funeral, and I must say it was a really shocking and very devastating experience. Lee afterwards came with me to Manchester, where the people where my other cousin stayed in Manchester were good enough to keep Lee for a while as well, till she was old enough to go into a household, because you couldn't go to be a maid or anything before you were 16, and Lee at that time was only 14. I really felt terribly sorry for her at that time, and we all were quite shocked about Siegbert's death. While I was in Bradford and working for Dr. Gibson, I got to know a very nice young man called Eric Stern, and we both were very friendly, and he somehow promised me he would get papers for my parents to come to America, because he had a lot of relations there and he himself was almost ready to go. It was very, very tempting for me to do something for my parents, and gradually my friendship with Berthold faded away, and I was very friendly then with Eric Stern. We were friendly about 6 months when we got interned, not because we were enemy aliens, but we were living in an industrial area, and everybody in the industrial area was classed as number B and got interned. We were aware that sooner or later we would be interned, and we had our cases almost packed when two of the committee ladies arrived to collect us. As a matter of fact, Irene said on the very morning she was really fed up with something. She said, "I wish they would intern us." And half an hour later, the two ladies in two cars arrived to take us away. They were both very nice, and specially said we shouldn't forget to take our bathing stuff with us. So we guessed that we would be going to the Isle of Man. We went first to the police station and then to the Isle of Man. Eric, he was number C because he hadn't lived all the time in Bradford, so he wasn't interned, and he gradually went to America while we were at the Isle of Man. We went by boat there. I think we were about 3,000 women, and in the Isle of Man we lived in two places, and we stayed in the hotels and boarding houses. We were very lucky, Irene and I. We stayed in a small boarding house which had only about room for about 12 or 14 people, and we knew most of the people who were there because they were all people from Bradford which we had known before, and a very nice and pleasant landlady. As a matter of fact, every time our landlady went to Douglas, the main town on the Isle of Man, she brought each of us present. We helped with the cooking and with the washing of things, preparing the vegetables, but we spent a lot of time on the beach. Of course, living in the south of Germany, I had never been to the seaside, so I really enjoyed being on the beach, and we did a lot of swimming, and we could go for walks. We could go quite a long way till we had to turn back, at least 3/4 of an hour's walk each direction. And there were classes for knitting, for keep fit, for French, for shorthand, anything you could possibly think of. I think we were about 5,000 females on the Isle of Man, and there was only one policeman. So, you know, you can imagine how dangerous we were. We were allowed to go to the pictures and were treated really very humane. When the high holidays came, one of the rabbis from the mainland came and gave us services, and I must say they were very impressive. Even so, we were all females. It really sticks out in my memory how impressive all those services were. We had entertainment there because between all those women there were some kind of artists originally from Berlin who really were very, very good, and they gave evenings and concerts. So time was really very pleasant there, and it also was one of those beautiful summers, so we had a lot of time to spend on the beach. While we were at Dr. Gibson's, we were only there. We both arrived in May, and in September, of course, war was declared and there were blackouts, and we were very restricted in our movements. But I must say that all the people who came to the surgery and were connected with Dr. Gibson's were very friendly to us. Even so, we were actually enemy aliens. In the evening when we went out, we went just to see our friends in the neighborhood. There were quite a few of other refugees. There was one couple about in a quarter of an hour's walk from us, and the husband was in the army and the wife was at home with two children. She was absolutely delighted when we came in for an hour or so in the evening to keep her company. I went to Bradford first to secure the job, and Irene's papers weren't quite ready. She came about 6 weeks afterwards. I still remember, I had never crossed the channel, of course. I went with a train to Holland and then with a boat over to Dover, then to London. In London, some of those committee ladies expected you and they put you on the other train. Well, I was going to Bradford. She put me on the train to Bradford. I remember very vividly the man who usually waves the green flag came into my compartment and looked after me and brought me a cup of tea, because I really was worried if my 17 shillings, which I had at that time, that's all you could take with you, would pay for a cup of tea. But he really was very nice and spent a lot of time. My English wasn't all that good, but I had some private lessons in Germany. I could understand, but I couldn't speak all that well. Eventually arrived in Bradford. The people I went to was a doctor's house with four children. They all were very nice. The children were well behaved and we were treated very nicely. They always had two maids, so they got rid of their English maids, and Irene and I moved in. When Irene arrived and we hardly knew each other, we hit it off straight away, and we have been friends ever since. I think Irene would say is my closest friend I ever had. We never had any arguments, and also we both stayed together for almost 7 years, day and night. One of my cousins went to Manchester and she was there in a household, and occasionally we would go over to Manchester to visit her. It was a nice day out. And we kept contact with all our other cousins, the cousins in Israel, the cousins in South Africa, because those were the only people we had. The mail from Germany was difficult. Of course, it was all very well till war broke out, and then, of course, we couldn't write anymore. We wrote to somebody in Holland, and the person in Holland had forwarded the letter to Germany, and also vice versa, so we at least were in touch with each other, and also we could send some Red Cross messages, 25 words. I think it was about a year that Irene and Hans were friends when they got married. And Irene and I went down to London for the wedding because Hans had an aunt in London who arranged all the wedding, and we had a very nice time. Unfortunately, after the wedding, Hans was straight away posted to India, which was good for me because I didn't lose the company of Irene, and she was glad still to have my company. So very little changed in our life, even though Irene was married. I think I got married 2 years later, but we were still together. We had to change our job and did some covers outside the town where we had to do some traveling, but we coped with all those things very well. And there were some other people very near us, because Mrs. Gibson had the habit sometimes to say at 9 o'clock at night, would you like to go out for a couple of hours? And of course we never refused. First of all, we were two of us, and one gets used to walking in the dark with your torches. Of course, the news from Germany got more and more difficult. Once Holland had fallen, so we couldn't get any letters anymore. All what we had then was Red Cross messages, which was really very little. We all kept in touch with each other, so if one got a message, we notified all the other ones that our parents arrived. Till 1943, when we all got a message that saying that they were moving to Poland, and they were moving away with great confidence in God. It was a very sad message, and that was the last we heard from them. By that time, with all the atrocities and things, one was almost numb with messages, and it's hard to explain how it really affected us. It also was very good that while we were working, it took us all our energy, and we were very busy doing our jobs, looking after ourselves, but had very little time to think about things, because when you came home at night, you were exhausted, and some of the things didn't register as much as I would have registered now if you would live a normal life. I only heard after the war from a lady who came back from Auschwitz, who was in the same transport. She was a very efficient shorthand typist, and when she arrived in Auschwitz, they took her aside and she got into the office, and this saved her. And she gave us the report about all our parents, because it was my parents and all my father's brothers and their wives all went to Auschwitz. Only the children of every family were saved. And that's why we always have been all very, very close, because we were the remainder of the family, except the people in South Africa, where the whole family managed to get out to South Africa. The food on the Isle of Man was very British. Our landlady cooked, and we all were dying for potato salad. So whenever we had to peel the potatoes, we kind of pinched one or two potatoes, put them inside the gramophone, and when our landlady went for the day to Douglas, we took them all out, boiled them, and made some lovely potato salads. And of course, some of us got parcels. There was one girl who got a lot of sausage sent, which was absolutely delicious with our potato salad. For our tea, we really had most of the time lettuce and something, and we were a bit tired of the lettuce. And the girls in the house next door, they got for their tea always soups. So in the end, we decided we would pass on our lettuces to them, and they passed on their soup to us. And so we all had good changes. It was a very pleasant atmosphere on the Isle of Man, and people were very considerate to each other. Eventually, they arranged a kind of tribunal where everybody had to appear and people were going to get released. The tribunal was alphabetical, so my name being Einstein before Irene Mendlich, I came before, and I came back to Bradford. We were very lucky that Mrs. Gibson took us back. Most probably she never had such good mates before, and she got rid of her other two English mates and took us back, and we stayed there for another year when we really felt we had enough domestic work, and we joined the war work. We managed to get a job in a tarpaulin factory sewing tarpaulin covers. It was really hard work because those covers were very, very heavy and the material was very rough. But we had the advantage that you only worked from 9 o'clock till 5 o'clock, and the evening was our own and we could do what we liked. So we managed to get a room with some other refugees in town, and Irene and I shared that room, and there were another two or three refugees were in the house there, and the landlady came from Berlin who was extremely nice and did sometimes cooking for us. If she made something special, we always got some share of it. We were very happy there, and we could bring plenty of friends for afternoon tea. Some of our friends had joined the ATS, and when they were on leave, they had nowhere to go. So they used to come to us, sleep in some of the neighboring houses, and came for the meals to us, and we always had company. And Hilde and Lee from Manchester came over to see us. So we had quite a nice time there. One day we went to one of the clubs there and we met a lady who had an awful lot of things to carry. We offered her, we would help her. So we never went to this club because there were mostly Austrians, and we used to go to the Jewish club there. And when we got to the club, there was a whole crowd of soldiers from the Pioneer Corps they had invited. So we mixed with the soldiers, and that's where Irene met Hans. They made a date for seeing each other as long as Hans was near Bradford. That's how the friendship started. Eric Stern managed to go to America, and he joined the American Army there. And he came with the American Army back to Great Britain. Somehow, when he came back, our friendship wasn't the same anymore. He had lived in America, we had lived in Great Britain. Somehow we found it quite difficult to be very close. So the friendship, in a way, petered out. He did one thing. I had a big lift one which went from Germany to America because I intended to go to America to marry Berthold, and I had some money smuggled out, and he looked after the lift one and paid for it all the time. But of course the money was actually mine, but still he administered, and this was a tremendous help to me. Martin and I had always been close friends in Germany because Martin joined our sports club, and we used to go out in a foursome, Martin and my cousin and me and Bertolt. So we went out together quite a lot, and we knew each other very well, and somehow even after we emigrated, we wrote letters to each other just telling us about our lives and how things were going for us. And I just mentioned that the thing with Eric Stern had kind of petered out, or I didn't feel the same about him as I did before, when Martin thought it would be nice if we would meet again after all that time. Martin came to Bradford to visit me and my friends, and then we arranged that we would meet again in Carlisle, where we had a weekend together and where we decided then to get married. First of all, I had never met Martin's parents, but Martin had met my parents quite often because all the young people used to come to our house and we had a meal together or an evening together. because most our social life, of course, in the last couple of years was in private houses. So I came up on Whitsun to Glasgow to introduce myself to Martin's parents, and I think I had a feeling they quite liked me. After all, I came from the same background as they did, and we decided to get married in July. Of course, you have got Martin's life story, what happened after July, so I don't need to repeat it. Irene and Mr. Bruce came up to the wedding, which was really nice. And I also had no difficulty in fitting in with Martin's friends, which were the bestest of the benches. We are still friendly with, or also with their children. As a matter of fact, we are still very friendly with Susan Bester. It's the daughter of the Bester in Australia. You don't replace those old friendships because you have got too many things in common with those people who have come out from Germany together and had the same experiences. All in all, I must say, I have been extremely lucky. People have been enormously friendly. Even when we were on war work and things were rationed, people would invite us to share their meals in their houses when food and everything was very, very short. There was never any word of being the enemy, and people were extremely thoughtful and very pleasant. Perhaps it was also that Irene and I weren't particularly demanding things of people. We took people as they were, and we found them and made the best of it. But we did reap the reward. People were nice, helpful, and we always had friends around it. Even nowadays, if I think, all the friends we made years and years ago are still our friends. And what is so very pleasant, that some of our children and their children are also friends, which makes life so much more enjoyable. I hope, Howard, this gives you a rough idea about my life. It has been not as eventful as that. I have been very lucky all the years. A nice place to go to in Bradford, the internment with Over's company. It was a tremendous help that Irene and I got on so well together, so we always had somebody to talk to. When we were miserable, we cheered each other up, and when we had nice things to celebrate, we enjoyed it. And also with Hans and Martin, the four of us always got on very well together, which helped a tremendous amount in our life.